sunset in the morning.
Haley interview by Paloma.
Yes.
How's that?
Haley interview by Paloma, take two.
Some people say these things, they happen every day. And I think it might be happening to you.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing what I always wear.
And what's that?
Black pants, white shirt.
All right. Question number one.
Question number one.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Do you consider yourself an entertainer as well as a musician? Or one or the other? Okay, because here's what I think.
Yeah.
But of course, I could be wrong because I don't really know you very well.
Okay.
What I hear in your voice is you don't really care. You've actually said that you don't care.
I don't care. If I didn't care, why the hell would I be doing this?
No, what I mean, you don't. Do you really care if
there are,
if you're entertaining people?
Easier ways to live. I will do what I do, and clearly, I'm not fashioning what I do for the marketplace. But I am certainly aware of the fact that there are people who have taken time out of their day and dragged their asses out into a bar or a club or whatever to hear me play. So, yeah, I'm aware that of myself as an entertainer, whether I'm doing stuff with the trio or solo. I don't pander, which is not the same as not giving a fuck. I mean, I'm aware of the audience. I don't disrespect an audience. On the other hand, I'm not going to mollycoddle or talk down to anybody either.
Right.
That could be interpreted as not giving a fuck, but if I didn't give a fuck, I wouldn't be there. Because, again, there are easier things to do.
Yeah.
Not that it's hard for me to play or write songs, but functioning as a musician in this culture is not the... It's not the easy path.
Because you don't have $35.
It's just not the fucking easy path. That's what it is. You know, there are, you know, if there are easy, if you want to function as a person in our culture, there are easier.
So
easier things to do with your life.
Are you saying you're not functioning as a person?
Of course I'm functioning as a person. Well, you want to define things again. That's like saying,
see,
you know, that,
I know.
That's
I know.
Like
this defining is the problem.
Success.
With...
There is aesthetic. You know, I on the one hand, in one sense, I'm very successful. In another sense, I'm not so successful. That depends on whether you consider success doing good work, whether you consider success being appreciated, or whether you consider success getting rich. I mean, they, you know, obviously there are people that are, you know, that would people that would that would smile on me if I was, you know, painting myself blue, you know, strip wearing a Speedo, standing on my head, farting rhythmically, and making $1 million a year at it.
You could do that in Vegas.
And, well, you know, and there are people that do the equivalent of that anyway. You know, there are, you know, we all know who. You know, we all can tell if we have any kind of fucking smarts at all what kind of musical acts and attractions are doing whatever the fuck is gonna get them attention and get them rich at that time. But you know, I mean, it's all a definition of it's all how you look at it.
So I was, and I'm not trying to offend you by saying this, but I was worried before I talked to you the first two or three times that you would be some kind of misanthrope, and then I talked to you.
I am some kind of misanthrope.
No, you're not. That's a lie. I talked to you, and I think you're not.
Really?
Yeah.
You're so easily fooled.
I'm not fooled.
Really, most people consider me really misanthropic, but again, in a sense, I am. In a sense, I'm not. I mean, I've been accused of being a cynic since I was in elementary school, but again, people will call me cynical and bitter, and my only response to that is if I was really cynical and bitter, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. One of the most hopeful, romantic things in the world you can do is fucking pick up a guitar and write a song. And
that's it. That's
there is nothing that the world will punish you more swiftly and viciously for than picking up a fucking guitar and writing a fucking song. Yeah, I mean, if I was really cynical, I'd be, you know, I would be talking to you. I would be a manager talking to you about some 12-year-old dressed like hunter that I was trotting around to be the next Miley Cyrus, you know?
And that's what I mean, and I guess that was the point of that question.
Which doesn't mean I'm not misanthropic. I really, you know, I have...
I don't think you are.
Believe me, the human race as a species, I'm kind of disappointed in. I personally am enjoying my 2% DNA that differs from that of a chimpanzee. I don't know about you, but...
Oh, I'm enjoying it very much.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Although, yeah. I do wish that I had the ability to climb things better.
You do have the ability to climb things, just not as well as a chimpanzee.
It's just not as well developed.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to be able to, like, leap from tree to tree and stuff, and...
I forget the actual monkey... But there's a species of monkey that leaps, that lives a mile or so off the forest floor, and leaps from tree to tree. And what they do is they just fling themselves into the air from one tree without knowing where they're going, really.
Yeah, I know. They spread out their arms and legs and whatever
happens to be there. And that, to me, is kind of an interesting metaphor for something.
For what, though?
I don't know.
You better think of it fast.
I don't have to think of it fast, kind of for my fucking life. I don't know, for anybody who actually is serious about doing music and isn't some, you know, little careerist twat with a freaking laptop putting up a MySpace page before they've written a song or played anywhere. That's why, you know, I mean, I'm in the middle of trying to come up with a name for a band for this project I'm doing with my good friend, the far loftier and far more worldly successful and very aesthetically successful musician, Frank Black, Black Francis. We recorded this album in Nashville that I told you about before, and we still don't have a name for it. And it's hard to find a name for a band now because every jamoke in the world has a fucking MySpace page.
Yeah.
So all the band names have been taken.
No, they haven't. There are plenty of band names.
Yeah, not any good ones.
Oh, I can think of some...
They can't be jokey, because, you know, jokey band names, they're pretty awful, and the jokes don't last, and then, God forbid the fucking band lives, you know, and then you're stuck, you know, what's the name of your band? You kind of look down for us, ordinary healthy, you know what I mean? Who needs that shit?
No, yeah, it's a tough decision. Give me some insight into your, and you talked to me about this before, this laughing in the face of life's unrelenting.
What about it?
Ugliness, business. Tell me about it.
Tell you about what? That's just that's something. That's just I don't. It's a thing.
That's what you do.
It's not what I do. It's a way. It's in a sense. It's a way for me to express my contempt for, you know, status updates and social networking sites. You know.
Yeah, which I do constantly.
I'm having coffee. It's for people that revel in the smell of their own farts. Nobody's fucking interested. But it's also kind of interesting because most people, not most people, but a lot of people misinterpret it as that being some kind of a negative thing.
Well, I mean, and I do that. I update
my... the word ugliness. They don't really, you know.
Well, and I update my status all the time with having coffee. And
there you go.
Because my friends might need to know where I am.
That's very important. Know exactly what's going on with you at any given moment.
It's really important for people.
Yes, it is. And it's just as important for me to enjoy myself.
Okay, so you have a show coming up this week, which you've publicized on social networking sites.
I'm kind of there because I'm kind of required to be.
Okay, so I heard this show is going to be more fun than a barrel of baboons or something like that.
These are just things that I say. You may have noticed I have a way with words.
You do?
Yeah. So that's, yeah, more fun than a barrel of mandrill baboons. Another thing that I do, I'm kind of like a TV show that way. I throw shit out there. I don't have, you know, a lot of time to spend.
So the real question is...
Web promotion, so I can to repeat certain things, and that's all. It's a show. As opposed to me, instead of using that, saying, it's a fucking rock show, you idiots, if you don't, you know what I mean? What the fuck? You know? I mean, that's like people saying, gee, what, you know, gee, what... Oh, my favorite thing is, what kind of music do you do? You know, at a certain point, I've stopped, and I've started just saying, fucking good. You know? So, I live in New York. Everybody has, you know, everybody has friends that are in bands that bother them to go see shows and things like that. I don't even, you know. Well, finally, if I'm forced to, you know, to talk to a stranger and you know, and let them know exactly what I'm doing, you know, you know, what kind of music do you do? You know, I'll say fucking good, or I'll say, or I'll say, you know, it doesn't suck like all your friends' bands. You know.
So you are a misanthrope.
You know, by the way, I'm a relatively real musician here, you know.
I take that back. You're mean and you're a misanthrope. I knew it.
I'm not mean and I'm not a misanthrope. And
you said you were. You said you were a misanthrope a while back.
I said, well, in a certain sense. I've just never had anybody actually come out and say, you know, I was worried that you'd be misanthropic, but you're not. It's kind of charming. I really should have let it lie.
You should have let it lie, but you didn't.
I should have let it lie. I don't know what's good for me. You know.
Yeah, just keep talking.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Do you have any pre-show rituals? Or are you superstitious about anything before you play?
I don't have any. What pre-show ritual?
I don't know. Like,
I generally change my strings the night before. I make sure everything's okay. I make sure that my good friends and bandmates.
I mean, besides all that stuff.
Murray are fine. And what's that?
Besides all that normal stuff, I mean, you don't like have any.
We don't have a group hug. I don't kill a chicken. No.
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 No monkeys, no baboon sacrifices.
No human sacrifice, no animal sacrifice. I don't chug a bottle of tequila. I don't, you know, just fucking, you know.
No, just vodka.
Enjoy playing. You know, and I've certainly done it enough. So, yeah.
So.
Yeah, just the gig is a ritual itself. You go, you get there, and you fucking, you know, you sound check. If that's happening, you do what you do, and you play.
So let's go back to... way back when there was no such thing as recorded music.
That was a long time ago.
That was a really long time ago.
I was in high school then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't born yet, so.
Yeah. I wasn't born yet either. I was joking.
So, how would what you do now be different? I mean, I know this is kind of an obvious question, but I just... if there was no such thing as recorded music today. Besides not recording music. Do you think you'd be a better musician?
What are you trying to say?
That's not what I mean.
Do I think I'd be a better musician if there was no recorded music?
Yes.
I don't know who I would be in a different time.
No, I'm not talking about, say, like, we're in today. Today's
what?
Time. Say, like, it's 2010.
Today is fine, but there's no recorded music?
But there's no such thing as recorded music.
I mean, am I in a different country? Is there a different time?
No. Everything is the same, except...
Yeah. Except there's no recorded
music. We have no technology to record music.
If there's no technology to record music, we wouldn't be doing this. You would not know who I was.
Oh, just forget it.
What are there, telephones?
You're the worst interviewee I've ever had.
Soft serve ice cream. Well, you know, thank you.
All right, I'm just going to change the subject now.
What are you trying to say? Would I be a better musician? I think I'm a fine musician.
So, what's your favorite Jesus and Mary Chain song?
My favorite Peter, Paul, and Mary Chain song?
Yeah.
They're okay. They're okay, and some of the songs
that's
are right.
Just,
on the other hand,
random.
I can't help but feel that. Well, I don't know. I like the whole we're keeping the lights very dark and we're covering and make sure we're.
And that was just random because I was listening.
We're shrouded in smoke and we're playing our nice simple pop songs.
I was listening to the Jesus and Mary Chain this morning.
I don't think it's that challenging, actually.
No,
but
it's
God,
not.
They're
it's
not a bad band.
It's not challenging. I don't think there's anything challenging about that. I was just listening to them this morning.
Ah, I so see. There you go. I don't have a favorite Peter, Paul, and Mary Chain song.
I need to do a tribute band. the Peter, Paul, and Mary chain.
For a while.
I'm always making a tribute.
For a while, there were tons of bands with the word Jesus in the title coming out of England.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Jesus Jones and Jesus this.
Lizard.
Like Jesus.
And Jesus. Well, I don't know where Jesus Lizard came from. But.
I like the Jesus Lizard. That's a fucking band. Those guys were motherfuckers.
So what was the last song besides one of your own that you had stuck in your head?
Besides one of my own?
Yeah.
I don't have songs that are one of my own stuck in my head, actually. It's kind of I've been listening to and working on the sequence for this album, again, with Charles, with Black Francis. So that's just before talking to you.
But it doesn't get stuck in your head, like what you're
working
on?
Well, they kind of do
over
at a certain point when you kind of, you know, get a little obsessive and try to work out, you know, the sequence of songs on an album, and certain ones kind of get locked in your head. Although I there really hasn't been a few weeks that have gone by without me being on the subway listening to Papa Don't Take No Mess over and over again for some reason. A perfect song, a perfect recording, that one. There are some of those. But, I don't know. Things get, a lot of things get stuck in my head. I just kick them out.
So, what I like most about your music is that it's unpretentious, and it's honest, and most of all, it comes from that place that nobody can really explain, but that place where good music and good art comes from.
Ah.
It's clever, it's witty, it's not too complicated, though. And how do you strike that balance? Yes, it's very simple-minded. That's what I'm trying to
very
say.
Very simple.
You're a simpleton.
I'm going to tell you something. I have spent a good chunk of my life as a carpenter, and one of your jobs as a carpenter, if you've done your job really well, nobody knows you've been there. But the thing is that my songs seem simple, but in fact, they're a lot less simple than you think they are. Anytime I show them to people or somebody is sitting in with me or something, they're really not simple at all. There's a lot of... I tend to be a little challenging for musicians because, you know, there tend to be stops and starts and tempo changes and retards and things like that. And again, one of the nicest things anybody said to me about my writing was, again, my friend Charles, who's, you know, says every once in a while that, you know, that obviously I don't in real life, but in terms of lyrics, I have 100-word vocabulary.
But that's all you really need.
Well, to me, rock or whatever the fuck I do, you know, blues, jazz, country, inflected, weird, quirky rock like I do, rock noir. it's kind of to me like haiku.
It's haiku rock, not rock noir.
Well, it's not haiku rock. It's just it's saying, you know what I'm saying. It's saying a lot with a little. I mean, I generally don't bring a song. I mean, songs don't get past me. I mean, there's plenty of songs that I just have that I play for myself, but I never bring to the band, and I never play out and never record, because the only ones that go there are the ones that, you know, kind of have, that kind of work on at least a two or three levels. You know, because they're kind of, I like the entendre. I'm kind of a fucking wise ass.
I can tell.
Yeah. You know, it's part of the misanthropic thing.
Yeah, I know. You're making me really uncomfortable. I feel like you don't like me.
Just because I'm misanthropic doesn't mean I don't like you. I have no respect for humanity, and I don't like anyone except you.
That's good. I'm not even sure that you really like me.
I'm not even sure I really like myself.
Okay, well, that's good then. That's fair.
You know who I like?
Who?
I like people that like my music. I like.
That's so selfish.
No, it's not. It's true.
It is.
It's true, and it's honest. You know, I'll tell you something. You know, if you're self-deprecating, people will go, oh, stop that.
Oh,
you're so fucked up.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay. And then you say, okay, well, there's something
about
me that I like. And you make a joke that sounds, and they go, oh, you're so arrogant. There's no pleasing something.
No, there isn't.
So basically, complete self-awareness is the only, complete lack of self-awareness, rather, is the...
It's the same thing, though.
It's the only path. You know, you can't make a self-deprecating joke because then you're self-deprecating, and you know,
and that's a bad quality. Don't be
self-deprecating. You make self-deprecating jokes long enough, dumb people will start to believe you. you know, I mean, at a certain point, somebody that's, people that are really goofy sometimes think that they go, oh, so you're kind of like rockabilly, and you know, it's like, no, just because it's a trio with an upright bass does not mean it's rockabilly, you knucklehead.
But that's the only vocabulary they might have.
Well, guess what? Go out and fucking learn to talk if you talk to me. I'm sorry, you must be this smart to get on this ride. I mean, but
so are you suggesting that people take an entrance exam?
Well,
to come to your shows?
No. But that wouldn't hurt. But but what I'm saying is that, you know, I would, you know, if somebody would say something like that to me, and I would, you know, sometimes joke and say, you know, I'm not a good enough guitar player to play rockabilly, and that's a joke. Until I realized that people would take away from that. Oh,
no, they would.
He's not a good guitar player. It's like, no, I am a fucking good guitar player. I'm just not a rockabilly guitar player.
Yeah, you have to be careful with that stuff.
So again, you can't, you know, people misunderstand any kind of even vaguely edgy humor.
Yeah, I know. I feel that pain every
day. Not that I'm calling myself edgy.
Yeah, you're edgy. So I'm going to write that in the description.
I'm the fucking smartest guy in the room. That's not a room I really want to be in. But, you know.
Paloma interviews edgy rockabilly guitarist.
Yeah, well, you know, this kind of stuff has happened to me. Exactly. Yeah. That's how it would be. You know, that this exact kind of thing. That
I'm just going to describe this interview.
Edgy rockabilly guitar player.
This is not rockabilly.
No, it's not rockabilly.
That's all I'm going to say in the description.
Not rockabilly?
Not rockabilly.
I like rockabilly, even though it's a limited form, you know. All the songs are...
Well, I didn't say that elves. Rockabilly was bad.
But it's fun. No, I like rockabilly.
You said not rockabilly.
No.
So, last time I talked to you had some haiku. Real haiku.
Oh, you want me to...
Will you recite some more haiku for me?
You want my Dick Cheney haiku again?
Yes.
This comes from, you know, the depths of the Bush administration, during which I was... not very happy.
That was a great time. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, those were, good times. Not depressing at all. Oh, my Dick Cheney haiku, it's entitled Dick Cheney, which is, I'd like to talk, but my location's undisclosed. I am the penguin. That's my Dick Cheney haiku, right?
I like it. Do you write a lot of haiku?
Yeah, every once in a while. You know, they're ironic haiku because, again, I'm a...
Because you're a dark and ironic person. You're a misanthrope.
That's right, I'm a misanthrope.
You're edgy.
Yeah, I'm edgy. I'm edgy. Ooh, I'm edgy. You know, like Dane Cook.
Yeah.
That just baffles me. The success of that kind of thing just kind of makes me feel like I'm on the wrong planet.
So speaking of being on the wrong planet, tell me about... a little more about what you've been working on lately with your friend Charles.
We recorded, he was in town last month doing a few shows, a few solo shows at Joe's Pub with the legendary Eric Drufeldman, who's unbelievably great, and a drummer. And during the day, we sat and wrote some songs. And the following week, I just went down to Nashville. We had 10 songs, kind of broke them in half. They were kind of songs, no lyrics, and melody, arranged music, I guess. And he took 5, I took 5. And we met in Nashville, and he had the Pixies were doing two shows in Nashville. And during the days, two short days, we recorded an album top to bottom.
So that leads to...
all first takes.
That leads to my other question, and it kind of goes back to that idea that I had about... what if recorded music didn't exist? And you'll see where I'm going with this.
Okay.
How long do you think, in your edgy, misanthropic opinion, should it take to record a good song? Should you be able to do it right the first time around?
What,
when you get in the studio.
Oh, in terms of recording?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about my personal philosophy of recording.
Your personal philosophy.
You mean once the, you know, once like, everything's set up.
Once everything's set up.
All the sounds there and we're ready to go. And how long?
You're all rehearsed.
Do for a song?
You're all ready to go. Push the record button.
You know.
Shouldn't you be able to get it right the first time?
Of course. Well, the thing is that it's, you know, there's always a law of diminishing returns, particularly with, you know, things like that. I mean, if you
don't want to know about the law of diminishing returns.
The law of diminishing returns means
I've just been taking these business classes that
Well, this has nothing to do with it.
That's good, because I don't want to hear about it anymore.
No, it's law of diminishing returns. It basically means if you don't get it on the third take, you might as well just, you know, pack it up and do it the next day. Because it's not going to get any better. I don't do a lot of takes on things, generally. I mean, there are a couple of songs on a couple of my albums that are not only first takes, but, you know, the warm-up take with the tape rolling. Like, you know, the only time it was played in the studio. And there are also songs that are, you know, released with scratch vocals, basically recorded live.
Mm-hmm.
No dub. So, you know, you get everything right and then you do it. I mean, this was all very fast, though, with Charles in Nashville at John Tiven's studio. It was, there was one song I was just finished up the lyrics and less than a minute later cutting the vocal.
So how long does it usually take you to finish writing lyrics from start to
finish?
To write
a song?
To write a song. Not just lyrics.
It depends. You know, what's that? It was that Picasso, some kind of a story or joke or apocryphal tale or something about some guy, you know, buying Picasso's painting. How much? He goes, $12,000. He goes, well, that's pretty expensive. How long did it take you to paint the painting? And Picasso replies, my entire life. You know, it's not just the time that you're actually writing the song. I mean, sometimes I'll think about something and then I spit it out in, you know, 20 minutes, you know. And sometimes I'll just sit down and work on something and it'll take, you know, an hour or two. And sometimes I'll, you know, just keep coming back to things. It's all different.
But do you find that the more you revise something, I mean, I'm speaking for me personally because I interject a lot of my personal, as you can tell, ideas in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I feel about writing in general. Either you're a good writer or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, sure.
You try to revise something too much, it gets ruined.
So you're of the Kerouac school. Yeah, what I'm telling you is that I don't revise that much. I don't do a lot of rewriting, and you know, it all depends. I mean, again, in terms of just lyrics, there was a few years ago. I was on tour with Charles on the Frank Black tour. Then we had a day off in Brooklyn, and he had some stuff that he was demoing over his studio in the neighborhood here, and had a song. It had no lyrics, you know, melody thing like that. And he said, "Do you want to, you know, do lyrics for this song?" I said, sure, I'll take a crack at it. And of course they were recording some other stuff there, so I said, alright, listen, I'm just going to jump in a car, go back to my place and bring it back so I can think. And so, you know, 40 minutes later I, you know, brought it back and it was done. What's that song? It's called Don't Get Me Wrong.
Don't get me wrong, I'm only stuck in this song for so long. Don't wait too long, I'm only nailed to this wall for so long. Don't get me wrong, don't get me wrong.
It's on an album called Christmas. A YouTube-y thing and various other things. But anyway, I mean, the thing is sometimes it's just very fast. And, you know, that's really not the way I've ever worked with anybody before, just writing lyrics. Because, you know, to me, a song just kind of comes together all at once.
I would imagine. I mean, I'm not a songwriter.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
You might be in the minority of people in this country that actually says I'm not a songwriter, because most people think they are.
I'm not, no. I'm not a songwriter.
I applaud you in this.
I have plenty of other things to do.
I applaud you in your uniqueness.
I don't have time to write any stinking song.
Because, you know, you could have a MySpace page.
I actually do.
You know,
I have a couple of MySpace pages.
You have GarageBand. You know, you could cut and paste some things together.
I was going to do that too. You know,
I've
had like several bands that
I
was going to.
A band name and little thing. You know,
I've had several bands that I've been in. That
there you go.
Never, yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
But I'm no musician, so it doesn't really... So, let's see. The last question I have. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
That's my favorite question. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? You don't want to know. Anything else I'd like to talk about? I don't know. Tell people to go to my website. Tell people to buy my fucking records.
Go to the tell people, Facebook site.
That buying a record used on Amazon does not help the musician or the band or the act, and only
That's
helps
right.
some.
Don't
or,
buy used
the,
records.
The bitter rock critic or industry hack who should not have gotten it to begin with.
I never sell CDs that I get. I want you to know.
There you go. That means you're a righteous person and you're going to heaven.
I am going to heaven.
Yeah, because
I'm totally not going to hell.
Amazing how many people say, "Yeah, I got your record on you know on Amazon for $3." I said, "Well, that's great, but you know, you're just
right." What if you're really? I mean, okay.
A step closer to extinction.
Well, wait a minute. What if you're just some kid who's poor and who doesn't?
Yeah,
some kid
who's poor who never goes to a bar and buys a beer. Forgo one of your 12 beers this weekend and buy a fucking CD from an
app. Oh, I'm talking about kids who can't buy beers, even.
People can't, yeah. What do they buy?
I don't know. I'm just saying, what if somebody's super poor?
If they're that poor, then that's fine. But generally, the thing, I've been doing this for a long time. I've had people... who, you know, I've had people that, to me, are wealthy hock me to get on the fucking guest list.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean?
That's not cool.
What's the matter with you people, you know, for crying out loud? The thing is that particularly now, you know, if things keep going the way they're going, it's more and more difficult for anybody who's not auditioning for, you know, corporate hell. So, I mean, if you don't want music to be either Taylor Swift or guy loading up the bong in his bedroom with the laptop, you got to kind of step up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Pay your
every once in a while, instead of saving $4 or $5,
Well, you could spend your $12 on some potato vodka, or you could go see a show.
That's true.
There, see?
Yeah.
Right? Is that what you're trying to say?
What I'm saying is you can either go see a show or not see a show. And if you're going to buy it, and if you're going to get a CD, it's nice when it actually benefits the band and not
it is.
Some wiener who some former record label sent it to by accident. You know what I'm saying? If you're clear, you're not supporting the band if you're buying a used CD.
Very good. That you're the first person, at least in an interview, who's...
Well,
I
at the risk of sounding cranky, and I'm not. I understand that
you're totally cranky.
People
you're
don't
a
have,
jerk.
People don't have a lot of money, but you know it does help if you decide to forego saving $5 or $6 and you buy it from the actual band as opposed to getting
right.
it.
It's consider it your donation to the cause of.
Well,
having good music.
Hard enough to stay alive as it is. I mean, you know, there are those that still believe music is free, but, you know, it's not.
Well, it is, but it's kind of
no, it's
sad
not.
That it is. It's not free for
everybody
somebody.
Has a job. They don't work for free, do they?
No. Okay. I know, I agree with you. I'm
rent
not,
is not free. Food's not free. Guitar strings aren't free. Rehearsal isn't free. Recording.
And if you're doing
free,
your job.
Free,
and
the band isn't free. Nothing's fucking free.
And you're doing your job, and you're doing a good job.
You do your job, and you fucking do a good job. And
you should get paid.
I'll tell you, you know, if I was fucking making the same money as a plumber's apprentice, I would consider myself vastly successful. You know what I mean? That's pretty much where most musicians are. And if you're a musician and you're making as much money as a fucking semi-successful plumber, you've got it made.
You've done well.
Yeah. So, we're not asking a lot out here, boys and girls.
No, but just, you know, fair pay for a full day's work.
instead of buying a bag of pot, buy a fucking record from the
artist. Buy a record from the artist.
Buy a CD from the actual band. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's about
that's
it.
That's good advice.
What else? There are many things I could be cranky about, but I don't want to spare you.
You're totally cranky.
I am totally cranky. See? You thought this is, you know why I'm cranky? Because you told me I wasn't a misanthrope.
Okay, you're such a misanthrope. You're a jerk.
And here...
I hate you.
Here.
How's that? Does that make you feel better?
Here, I thought you knew me, Paloma.
I'm sorry. Okay, I do know you. You're a jerk.
I'm not
you're
a jerk.
A
I'm a wonderful man.
You're cranky.
I'm not cranky.
Yeah, you are.
No, not at all.
You just like to argue with everything I say.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
See? I'm not at all cranky. Slightly contentious. I see through to the truth.
You're cranky.
I speak the truth. Yeah, I'm very cranky. Not cranky at all, actually, at the moment.
No, you sound like you're in a fine mood.
Yeah.
How's that vodka?
Done. I just poured myself a shot, that's all.
So, would you give me your best pirate impression?
Hello, I'm Goldman Sachs.
All right. Thank you, Reed. Thank you for enduring
this. Thank you very much,
Paloma. This very horrible interview. And
it hasn't been a horrible interview. It's been a wonderful interview.
It's been fun.
People gonna tell you that your life can go to hell, but how you gonna get there when you got no soul to sell? No matter how you play it, there's always room for more. You get knocked down, dead, back on the floor. I can almost tell the difference between day and night. 'Cause everything is going wrong, and that's all right.